Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hey, a quick recap of yesterday's show starts now. We talked to Lil Nelson at campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org, doing a phenomenal job as always. We talked about the Utah legislature. They're still in the reign of terror, as you know. 45 days of abuse. Woohoo! Close to 700 to 1,000 bills hit the hopper. 400 plus usually pass every year. 9/10 of them, in my opinion, horrible bills. Laws after laws after laws after laws every single year. That's why I call it the reign of terror. Anyway, HB 11 got approved by Senate committee. And that's where they want, you know, men to just roll into women's bathrooms and dressing rooms and sporting events and everything else. Just out of control, psychotic. On one hand, Joe Biden says he follows the science. On the other hand, when you say that men can just become women and such, you've lost your scientific marbles for sure. Wow, we talked about the Utah legislature. HB 371. Failed in the House committee. What a sad tale to tell. That's vote transparency reality. Let's have paper ballots. Let's have accountability on the votes. That failed. Utah filing window is open. Run for office now and challenge these buffoons that have destroyed our liberties and that continue to do so blissfully, ignorantly, blissfully because we the people do nothing. One of the checks and balances in America is broken because the people are so coddled with entertainment and bread and circus that they can't focus on saying, hey, we got to get these goons and buffoons out of office. The filing window is open. Run for office today, please, my fellow Americans. Utah precinct caucuses are on March 8th. The precincts and the caucuses are about destroyed in the state of Utah and around the country. But we've got to fight back. We've got to get involved. We've got to bring that all back. That's the most local division, jurisdiction of government there is. It's called the precinct, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. They didn't hear what we told them. They had better hear this time. That's what Vladimir Putin says. Paul Craig Roberts with the article, not praising Vladimir. The guy's a nutcase, but he's an evil genius. Donald Trump called him a genius, but he's an evil genius. But nevertheless, he's a communist, right? He comes straight out of the KGB for crying out loud. What do you expect? Anyway, we've got to keep the U.S. out of the war. LouRockwell.com with a great column. We need to understand the background of the crisis. We also need to remember the basic principles that should guide American policy. George Washington, for example, in his farewell address, warned us to stay out of European conflicts. He says Europe has a set of primary interests, which to us have none or a very remote relation. Hence, she must be engaged in frequent controversy, the causes of which are essentially foreign to our concerns. Hence, therefore, it must be unwise in us to implicate ourselves by artificial ties in the ordinary vicissitudes of her politics, or the ordinary combinations and collisions of her friendships or enemies. It's a long statement from George Washington, but it's full of power words, isn't it? Bottom line, here's what he said. Stay the heck out of all those wars, folks. They don't relate to us. We don't need to be involved. It doesn't do any good for us to get involved. To do so is a dereliction of duty and warmongering, and it's unjust and ungodly. We also talked about Jason Stapleton bringing up a wise comment. Where goods cross borders, armies do not. Far better and wiser is the old classic liberal foreign policy of neutrality and non-interventionism. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Now remember, he says the old classical liberal. I don't know if you know this, but in the founding era, our founding fathers were concerned liberals. Did you know that? The words manipulate, have different meanings as time goes on. That's the truth of the matter, isn't it? Therefore, we need to be very careful. But I'm telling you, the whole point of the first hour was avoid war like the plague. Your legislatures are running amok. Whenever it's election time, get involved, get elected. Let's use our greater numbers to peacefully change the game, shall we? Hour two was equally incredible. Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to match to preserve the nation. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Not only is the incredible homeschooling curriculum available there, but there's videos. There are webinars that Dr. Bradley does every week there. Just incredible Q&A on the Constitution from Dr. Scott Bradley and more. We talked about what is a smart health card. The smart health card is a digital or printed QR code that provides proof of vaccinations and or test results. Many U.S. states have outlawed the vaccine passports, but they've allowed this, quote, smart card pass, not port, pass card to flourish in their states. Red states are going along big time. The only information they claim displayed on the card is the holder's name and date of birth, as well as clinical information relating to the vaccine and test. You know, you got the date, the manufacturer, the time of the test, who did the test, all that, and positive or negative, and or the vaccine. You know, what vaccine did you use, all that kind of stuff. Well, this card, believe it or not, you would think, oh, it's just getting started since I'm just hearing about it. No. We've got most of the big pharmacy chains, all of the key health systems, and many states already have agreed to adopt this particular standard. It's almost a de facto right now. Yeah, they're used as verification by not only all these health-minded entities, but bars, restaurants, sporting events, and countless universities and colleges that are also aboard. Whether they realize it or not, over 200 million people in the United States already have access to this COVID-19 digital vaccine card. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. What a tragedy that really is, right? Yeah, I kid you not. It is disaster, right? It is absolutely disaster because this card is so far along before we even know about it. I don't know that we can stop it, right? Wow. Oh, boy. All right. Medication-induced abortions accounted for 54% of all abortions in the U.S. in 2020. That's according to the Guttmacher Institute, ladies and gentlemen. Abortion pills have grown in popularity since they were introduced in 2000. I'm telling you, it is disaster, folks. Disaster. And for us pro-life folks, we need to stand against this big time. We also talked about whacked out Senator Ben Sasse, Republican. He stated of the Ukraine that the U.S. should be arming them to the teeth and that the U.S. should provide tactical, actionable intelligence so they can kill Russian invaders. He said that on the whacked out Morning Joe show. Shame on you, Ben Sasse. We need to stop being these warmongers. Why it is our foreign affair in the first place, folks? Where do we get authority to breach the sovereignty of Russia and or the Ukraine? Where do we get authority to just ramp up war threats, sanctions, acts of war, and beyond? Why are we doing this? We're adding insult to injury, ladies and gentlemen. Half the reason that Russia attacked the Ukraine in the first place is the possibility that Ukraine is going to become involved in NATO and all these other possible global agreements that manipulate and create winners and losers and absolutely anger sovereign nations. Blowback is incredible. We have got to jettison this narrative, ladies and gentlemen. And then we act like it's everybody else? I'm not saying Putin doesn't have responsibility here, but let's not pretend he's the only one. Let's not lie to ourselves about the realities of war and the provocateur nation called the United States, the hegemonist belligerents of a country such as the United States that's been on the global stage for decades wreaking havoc. Let's not pretend that reality doesn't exist. Please, stop it already. Anyway, Joe Biden to nominate Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. I don't know if she'll get confirmed by the Senate or not, but I'm telling you right now, my advice, speaking of the Senate's advice and consent, I don't think they ought to give consent. She's a nutcase. But that's what we've got going on, ladies and gentlemen, in America today. Will she be on the decision-making team to decide whether we're going to murder more babies or defend pro-life? Heaven help us if she is. I'll tell you that right now. Final topic of the recap. According to a study from WalletHub, Nevada is the most sinful state in America. That's Nevada. Followed up by California, Texas, Florida, and Louisiana rounded out the top five, ladies and gentlemen. The most sinful states in America. Let me give them to you again. Let's see. Nevada, California, Texas, Florida, and Louisiana rounded out the top five. The study was based on anger and hatred, jealousy, excesses, and vices, and greed. Wow, do we have too much of that in America today? I'll promise you that. Wow, we got to turn towards God Almighty and repent, don't we, folks? Hang tight. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated, hard-hitting talk show.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your three-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
Conceived in liberty, carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman breaking it down like nobody's business. There's so many articles. There is so many stories. It's unbelievable. I'm telling you, it is just wow. I don't even know how to react to so much news, or lack thereof, lack of real news. Well, check this out, ladies and gentlemen. Headline says, quote, TikTok users are feeding data to the communist Chinese. Yeah, to the Chinese Communist Party. Cyber experts are now warning, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious news. This came out a little bit ago, but I didn't have time to get to it. We've had so much news, right? But I'm telling you, this is serious indeed. If you use TikTok, you may be feeding information to the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. That's a warning from cybersecurity expert. Let's see who this guy's name is. Casey Fleming. He's CEO of what's called Strategic Advisory Firm, Black Ops Partners, if you will. In a recent interview with Epics TV's Wide Angle program, Fleming explained the dangers posed by foreign control cell phone applications like TikTok. Well, that's not very good, right? They say, which is owned by Beijing internet giant. I think it's called ByteDance. We must assume, he said, that every, did you hear me? That every one of these applications coming from China, Russia, and other, quote, declared adversaries of the United States, we have to assume that these applications are weaponized against us. TikTok, the hugely popular short format video app that allows users to create, share, and view short videos, often featuring singing, dancing, etc. Well, it's got over 100 million Chinese users. Let's see, it was launched in what, September 2016? That's right. The app was relaunched as TikTok internationally in September 2017 for the rest of us, attracting dozens of celebrity users and partnership with the NBA, the NFL, the Comedy Central. TikTok became one of the most popular apps in the world, folks. Okay? But by 2020, TikTok reported nearly 1 billion active users worldwide, less than 4 years after its launch. It went viral like nobody's business. But TikTok, ladies and gentlemen, they say may have a dark side. TikTok is a Chinese company, and all the private information that the app is collecting may be fed directly to the communist Chinese regime, the experts now warn. Citing a range of Chinese laws, I guess compelling companies to comply with Chinese law, right? Requires that data is sent to the communist Chinese leadership. All of your data on that phone, said Fleming. Everything that you do and everything that you have stored on your phone is being sent out of the country, possibly to be used against you. Think about that. The Communist Party of China is collecting massive amounts of data, said Fleming. It may not be used against you today, but make no mistake, over time it will be used against you, your company, or your country in the future. People walk past the headquarters of ByteDance, the parent company of video sharing app TikTok in Beijing. They got this video of this, right? Awareness of this threat, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, isn't new. We've reported on it before. In August 2020, for example, President Trump signed an executive order to ban all TikTok activity in the United States for 45 days. Okay? Since then, Trump's orders, of course, have been stalled by several lawsuits and court orders. And in June 2021, the Biden administration canceled the orders. Instead, just said, hey, we got to evaluate to see if it poses a security risk. Never mind all the experts are there. The government's got to have the wheels of justice grind oh so slow you'll be betrayed before they ever get to the bottom of it, right? Now the U.S. government appears to be taking new steps to address the security risk posed by TikTok and other foreign apps, including a new rule change that's proposing oversight of foreign controlled apps. The Commerce Secretary would be able to restrict access to apps considered to be a threat by the United States. but it may be too little too late, according to some experts. There's a guy, Mark Grykowski, I think is his name. He's an associate professor specializing in cyber law at Adelphi University. He's also the author of the book. It's newly published, I guess. Cyber Law and Ethics is the name of that book. So that's concerning, right? It is stunning that it's taken so long for the Biden administration to conclude TikTok as a national security threat, says the Epoch Times. President Trump tried to address the problem, but they didn't care. Everybody hated Trump, and everybody wanted to attack Trump. Never mind he was right on this one, as he is many things. They attacked him and reversed it because it was the Donald. TikTok and other Chinese-controlled apps present an immediate danger to national security. I agree with that, but I also agree some American apps do too, like the tracing apps that government's putting together. They say TikTok will go down as the most successful data harvesting of Americans ever done by a foreign adversary. Wow. Think about that. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Think about that. TikTok is, quote, Chinese government malware masquerading as a social media app. Anyway, there you have that. What do you think of all this, folks? You know, people don't care. They just think they know, and it's no big deal, right? Mounting concern. Several American politicians have voiced the same concern. TikTok is owned and operated by a Chinese company and controlled by the communist government, said Rick Scott, senator of Florida, said. America shouldn't use products or services controlled by communist China. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri also chimed in and was even more blunt. TikTok is a surveillance apparatus for Beijing, he told The Atlantic back in 2020. The danger comes from the enormous amount of personal data that TikTok is gathering from each user. It can access your camera, your microphone, saved photos and videos, your contacts, GPS location, and probably also your web browsing history, he said. The app collects way more data than it needs to. For example, GPS information is gathered. Why? This data isn't just collected on your phone. It's passed on to TikTok owners in China. All the data on the app is encrypted in such a way that where you can't exactly tell what's going back to the Communist Party. The Wall Street Journal even reported in August 2020 that TikTok tracked Android users' data in violation of policies. But, of course, they keep expanding their, quote, EULA, right? It's privacy policy to get you to share everything. Voice prints, Facebook. Oh, face prints and voice prints and more. We know that TikTok's Chinese parent company has access to every American's user's data. TikTok has said repeatedly that it does not share American user data with the communist regime, but they say that its data is held in U.S. servers backed up with servers in Singapore. This data can and will be shared with the Communist Chinese Party. Don't fool yourself. If the Chinese government tells a Chinese company to hand over its data, they're going to do it. It'll happen in a flash. Wow. Why would the CCP want American cell phone data? It's all about control, ladies and gentlemen. China is the totalitarian state, completely controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. Party, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Yeah.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Vladimir Putin and Russian soldiers continue to bomb indiscriminately, killing everything in its path on day 6 of the invasion in Ukraine. More than 70 Ukrainian servicemen were killed by a Russian rocket attack, and dozens of civilians have died in the shelling in the past 24 hours. This as a massive Russian military convoy approached the capital, Kyiv. Ukrainian authorities at the United Nations describe a text message between a mother and her dead Russian soldier son.
Mama, I'm in Ukraine. There is a real war raging here. I'm afraid. We are bombing all of the cities together, even targeting civilians. We were told they would welcome us, and they are falling under our armored vehicles, throwing themselves under the wheels and not allowing us to pass. They call us fascists. Mama, this is so hard.
The fencing around the U.S. Capitol is back up for the President's State of the Union address at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight. USA Radio News.
Have you or someone you know used heartburn medications Zantac or ranitidine and been diagnosed with cancer? Zantac and ranitidine have been positively linked to cancer. According to the FDA, Zantac and ranitidine contain NDMA, a known cancer-causing agent. NDMA has been positively linked to cancers of the bladder, pancreas, esophagus, liver, and stomach. Even in single doses and in smaller doses over time, NDMA is one of the strongest proven cancer-causing agents. Call 888-960-1233 or go to ZantacMoney.com. You may be entitled to substantial compensation without going to court if you or a loved one have taken these products in the past 10 years and been diagnosed with cancer. Call now to see if you qualify for free. Call 888-960-1233 or visit ZantacMoney.com to get what may be owed to you. You may be entitled to a cash reward. Find out now at ZantacMoney.com or call 888-960-1233 to see if you qualify for free.
Gain-of-function research and COVID-19 has Moderna's interest.
After people like Dr. Rand Paul, the senator of Kentucky, has spent the last 2 years talking about the possibilities of virus enhancement or gain-of-function research, in an interview with Fox News, Moderna CEO Stéphane Bancel said that that is a possibility.
My scientists are looking into those data to see how accurate they are or not. As I've said before, the hypothesis of an escape from a lab by an accident is possible. You know, human makes mistakes. So is it possible that the Wuhan lab in China was working on viruses enhancement or gene modification? And then there was an accident where somebody was infected in the lab and then infected their families and friends. It is possible.
Two new studies that came out at the same time, one from the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention and the other from the University of Arizona, both back up this information.
That's John Hunt reporting in Washington. We are USA Radio News.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Our guest, Mr. Patrick Simmons, National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. Find out if you live in a right-to-work state, ladies and gentlemen. Righttowork.org. Welcome back, Patrick. How are you, my friend?
Doing well, Sam. Great to talk with you again.
All right. There's so much going on, it's hard even to break it down these days. We seem to be distracted with coronavirus, climate change, a possible war between other nations that we ought not, in my opinion, belong in, etc. It is serious, folks. But Patrick Simmons and others are keeping an eye on the ball on some critical things that aren't getting near the coverage, in my opinion, they deserve. Why? Because it relates to every single person that works in the United States of America. Patrick, is that a good place to start?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, as you know, and we've discussed a lot, you know, we've got a federal labor law in this country, and well, a labor law regime. It's not just one particular law, but that favors monopolies and coercion to the detriment of individual rights. And often, and the type of coercion we're most interested in defending workers against is that comes from unions, where it's not a voluntary association. But it's workers being forced under union representation they oppose, that they don't want, that they feel they'd be better off without. And then in the states without right-to-work laws, and 27 states do have right-to-work laws, but there's obviously a lot of workers in the remaining states. And in those non-right-to-work states, they can be forced to pay money to a union or be fired if they don't. And that is, a really top-down, coercive system that undermines the choices that individual workers want to make and instead gives it to powerful union bosses who use a lot of that money to buy political influence. They're very chummy with the current administration in Washington, and we're seeing a lot of bad things from our perspective, from the individual rights perspective, that's resulting from that.
All right, Mark Mix just sent out. Mark is what, your president? Is that right?
Yeah, he's president of the foundation. He's my boss. Yeah.
All right. And he came out with some pretty interesting stuff, too, about this big battle. If we're not very careful, all that we've worked for might be on the chopping block, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in Congress right now, there's a bill called the PRO Act. That's what the unions call it. We would call it the Pro-Union Boss Act because it basically doubles down on all this federal coercion. It would eliminate all 27 right-to-work laws by federal fiat. It would eliminate the secret ballot election for unionization. So right now, the normal way that workers determine whether or not a workplace is unionized is they have a NLRB, that's the National Labor Relations Board, supervised secret ballot election. We're seeing the Biden appointees at the National Labor Relations Board try to move to a system called card check, where the union gets to go around. They pressure people into signing a card. We know from experience sometimes that pressure, it goes further than pressure. It's downright lies, threats, that type of thing. We've had people said, oh, they told me I was signing a health care form. They told me I was signing something for more information. And then suddenly those signatures are used as, quote, votes for unionization to sweep the entire workplace into union ranks and often into forced dues. And it has a whole bunch of other things. We're seeing independent contractors, people who it could be a driver for Uber or Lyft. It could be a local handyman who has a few buildings that he takes care of. They want to turn all those people into, quote, employees under federal law so they can be unionized. Currently, independent contractors cannot be. And so there's just all these aspects of turning federal government power and giving it to government or giving it to union officials to coerce workers into their ranks. It's a growing concern. You can see it. This is something happening through Congress, but then also, like I said, through the sort of the bureaucrats within the current administration pushing a lot of this things that they can't get through Congress, trying to do it basically by bureaucratic fiat.
All right, what's this law called again, or this act?
It's the PRO Act, P-R-O. They refer to it as the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, which is a pretty, outrageous, obviously, way of describing it. The fact is, anyone in America can join any union they want at any time. If the union will take their money and issue them a membership number, they can join if they want. But what they're talking about when they talk about organizing, it's not about individuals choosing voluntarily to associate with a union. It's about the union being able to force people who don't want to be under the union control into union ranks.
And this PRO Act is not law yet, right?
No, it's not yet. It's passed the House. It's got 50 co-sponsors in the Senate. Currently, the filibuster is the only thing keeping it from becoming law. And going to Joe Biden's desk where he pledged in the campaign to sign it. We see that quite a bit. Unions, we know, spend a couple $1 billion, billion with a B, on political and lobbying activities. That's their own reports that they have to file. Show that number. You look at their political contributions, you'll see 95, 98, 99% of them go to Democrats, and that's how you buy a lot of power, a lot of influence, even though we know something like right to work, when you ask the American people, it polls 75, 80% support for right to work. So Americans understand union affiliation.
Let me stop you there, though, and say this. Not only when you poll these people, does it support 75 plus percent believe in the right to work? That also means by very nature that they're against the PRO Act. by nature, because the PRO Act is the opposite of that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the PRO Act, it would eliminate right-to-work laws, and that's just one of the laundry list of union power grabs. But, yeah, no, that's, there's no question. The PRO Act is explicitly a repeal of every right-to-work law in the country. And so when you see polls from, you know, national polling organizations, nonpartisan places like Gallup, and they see 75 or 80% of Americans saying that they favor right-to-work, if right to work was on their ballot, they'd vote for it. The fact that the PRO Act has so much support in Congress is not a reflection of public opinion. It's a reflection of those union boss political contributions and all the influence that buys them in Washington.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this in kind of layman's terms, because I'm not very, you know, smart compared to a lot of these people, but you got to ask this: what is the PRO Act, huh? It hasn't passed yet, but it's the Democrats' latest belligerent assertion to literally lord over you in unbelievable ways. The PRO Act, ladies and gentlemen, would be the most radical change to existing labor law in literally decades. First, the PRO Act would overturn all right-to-work laws. Right now in 27 states, we were working on more states too. It would soon to be more. Now, unions in these 27 states, union cannot enforce employees to join a union and cannot force them to pay union dues. But under the PRO Act, employees could be required to join their, quote, workplace union, even if they personally do not support it. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to really beware of this. We can't let this slip under the radar. That's what they're hoping, is the American people will be too titillated and distracted with either one, bread and circus, or two, the latest fear-mongering tactics of whatever the case is. Global warming, threats of war, coronavirus, whatever distractions there are. They're hoping to just push this under the radar before the 2022 election. Patrick, is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this, there's no question. This is the most radical attempt to overhaul federal labor law since at least there was a federal labor law. I mean, you go back to the New Deal, if you want to say, in terms of a giant change in how these systems worked and the balance. We think it's already way too skewed in favor of union coercion. But the balance between workers' individual rights, it shouldn't be a balance, but this is the way federal labor law looks at it, between those individual rights of workers and then this sort of collective coercive power that's granted to union officials. And this would just tip the scales entirely on the side of that coercive power. I mean, we talked about eliminating right to work. I mentioned card check. And the way that would work under the PRO Act is that the NLRB, if a union loses a vote, they could just overturn it and on the basis of cards. The after a union gets in place, and this is another particularly egregious part of this, would have a government arbitrator would come in and force dues contract. So even if the company and the union couldn't agree to a contract, the government would come in, put its hand on the scale and say, yes, we're forcing everyone to pay dues or be fired.
Ladies and gentlemen, draconian tyranny, I'm telling you right now. Patrick Simmons back with us in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Patrick Simmons on your radio. RightToWork.org doing a phenomenal job keeping an eye on the ball for us. The PRO Act, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, it's an absolute proposal for tyranny. It's insanity. It'll be the most radical change to existing labor law in literally decades. 27 states have right-to-work laws that would all be smashed and overturned if this becomes law. I mean, the Democrats are on an absolute psychotic bender. I'm a little more bold than you might be in my language about this, but I don't think I'm overstating it, Patrick.
No, I don't think you are, Sam. This is a complete radical overhaul of federal labor law. And as I said, the current law is already far too tilted in favor of union coercion. And yet this would just exceed it by, you know, on every single aspect. I mean, it's designed to empower one of their biggest political allies, which is union bosses. It has it has basically nothing to do with the actual workers. And I think one of the key things that people ought to be looking to point out is how anti-worker so much of this, the PRO Act and the sort of the agenda of that big labor has for how labor law should work. I mean, they want to strip workers of their right to enter into their own contract to decide how their working situation is going to work, and instead have have union bosses in Washington D.C. Controlling how your economic and how your ability to take care of your family works. And that's, it's anti-individual rights, it's anti-freedom, and it's about giving more money to union bosses who can then turn around and spend it on politics. It sounds cynical, but I just don't see how you look at the polls, you look at what the American people believe, you look at the actions of the recipients of all this big labor money, and it seems like this is a pure political power play. They're thinking, look, get enough workers to pay enough money to union officials. They turn around and spend enough money on politics, some of it the very explicit politics, donations to candidates, that sort of thing. But a lot of it's union get-out-the-vote efforts. And they, they target key states. They go, oh, these are the swing states. This is where we want to be our most active. And they're thinking this is how they gain permanent political power in Washington, D.C., in spite of the fact that this is not an agenda that is supported by the American people by any means.
Now, let me kind of highlight a comparison for you from the private sector, a world that I've lived in for many, many years, so I'm intimately familiar with it. But I want to highlight kind of the differences here to make the point that you really focused on right here, Patrick, which is, hey, there's a quid pro quo going on. Where, you know what, let's donate to campaigns and let's get political paybacks. And it's seriously a conflict of interest and an ethics problem at the least. To me, it's criminal. And let me give you the comparison in the private sector to make this point. You know, you're talking about big money going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's beyond a doubt that it's influencing people and changing outcomes and everything else, right? Well, I was in the mortgage industry as a mortgage broker for a long time, and I was in the industry of insurance for a long time. And with that, you get, you know, financial licenses with fiduciary responsibilities. And I had the FBI, you know, do a background check on me. They took my thumbprints, my fingerprints, my palm prints, everything on file before I could even get my license. Well, once you get a license, you have training that you've got to take, hours of training and then continuing education to keep up on the latest laws and changes. And you got to make sure that you're being ethical in your fiduciary responsibility. And so one of the things that they said is I can't even, as a mortgage broker, for example, I can't even take a real estate agent out to lunch and pay for their lunch. Even if I'm a friend of theirs, I can't pay for a lunch as a friend because the fact that I'm licensed as a mortgage broker and they're licensed as a real estate agent, it would be probably trying to woo them, the real estate agent, to point transactions to me, the mortgage broker. And so don't you dare even pay for their lunch, because if you do, you could have ethics violations and you could lose your license over it. That's how in the private sector they know about conflict of interest, and they bring it down to the most local of, you know, harmless of things. If I buy Patrick, for example, lunch, and he's a real estate broker and I'm a mortgage broker, it might just be that we're friends. It's not that I'm trying to influence him, but you can't do it. You don't dare do it. But yet this is on an epic scale of millions, perhaps billions of dollars, Patrick, and they know it's a problem, but they turn a blind eye, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. It's really, when you think about it at its core, what's happening, it's just hard to see it as anything other than out and out corruption. I mean, you've got the Biden administration issuing executive orders saying if you want to get federal contracts, you have to have a union involved. And so the idea is, if you want government taxpayer money to, let's say, build a road or whatever outrageous spending is going on in their Build Back Better or whatever other proposals they're trying to push through, if you want to get taxpayer money, you've got to funnel it through this private organization that is our biggest political backers, and they got to get their cut of union dues that then goes up and infects our political system with more and more money. And, you know, I believe in, you know, freedom of speech, and I think, you know, if people want to spend their own money taking out ads or you know, to talk about freedom or the size of government, they should certainly be able to do it. The problem here is that big labor doesn't collect their money through voluntary contributions. They collect it by threatening people's jobs. Nice job there. Pay us money or you'll lose it. I mean, this is, you know, the Sopranos. You could see the same scheme in the Sopranos. They go around to the business is, hey, nice business you got there. Be ashamed if something happened to it. At its core, that is the union's preferred business model. Threaten someone's job, say pay up or be fired. And when they take that money and then spend it by the billions in politics, it is just a giant source of corruption. It skews our political system, and it promotes you know, big coercive government to the detriment of individual rights and freedom.
All right, Patrick, one last point on this, and then we'll move on to some good news before the end of the hour. Is this likely to pass? I mean, on one hand, it sounds so psychotic, you would think, oh, they don't have a chance on the green earth to pass it. But you know what? They might actually get this done, Patrick.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's already passed the House. Joe Biden has already promised to sign it, and it has 50 votes, we believe, in the Senate. But the question so far is the Senate filibuster. And I tried to put a lot of this stuff in through the so-called the reconciliation process. That hasn't gone forward yet. It's been held up by Senator Manchin from West Virginia and Kristen Sinema. Now, you know, they're both on board with the PRO Act, but in terms of eliminating the filibuster, so far they've held strong on that and said, look, you know, we may be in favor of this, which most Americans are opposed to, but, you know, for whatever reason, maybe some of those contributions we just talked about, they're in favor of these things. But they haven't been willing to take the step of throwing out the entire history of the U.S. Senate and the filibuster process to do it. So really, that's the only thing holding on to this or stopping this at the moment. You know, hopefully they're looking ahead. Obviously, a lot of people think in November It's going to be a bad climate for a lot of Democrats. They've taken some really radical positions on the PRO Act and other things probably as well. And it's got voters pretty upset. So maybe they're thinking, look, the way to minimize some of their losses is to not go and try and ram this through on a complete party line vote with Kamala Harris coming in most likely to break the tie. But it doesn't mean they don't want to. I mean, they're getting a lot of pressure from, like I said, the big labor unions have billions of dollars. We've done, you know, some studies that we do every year taking their own filings and what they file with the FEC and with the Department of Labor and things they classify as politics. And you do that, you get to about $2 billion every political cycle. But we had another estimate that we saw, and that ended up being, I think, around $12 billion every 2 years. When you take all the things that various courts have said, you know, things that government unions do is inherently political. And we're certainly seeing that with schools and teachers unions and the fact that they've been able to keep schools closed over the past 2 years. But if you look at that, you're talking about over $10 billion likely every two-year election cycle being spent on politics and lobbying and other political activities. And that just buys a ton of influence. And it's
amen. We need to go after these criminals. That's for sure, Patrick. Yeah. I'll tell you that. I want to get to this before to the end of the hour. Sorry to interrupt, but I do want to highlight good news from righttowork.org before the end of the hour. Right to work states are recovering from COVID faster. You want more proof of the value of right to work, Patrick? There it is, right?
Yeah, well, you know, right to work states have always had a great track record of job growth, job creation. It's sort of what you expect. Obviously, COVID and the government reaction to COVID really hurt the economy, but now the numbers are very clear. The right-to-work states are bouncing back so much more, quickly. They're more resilient. They're bringing the jobs that were lost back a lot quicker than those states that have forced dues and forced unionism and allow workers to be fired simply for not paying money to a labor union. I think 18% increase in private sector jobs in right-to-work states. States have been right-to-work over the last decade. And in the non-right-to-work states, basically half that. I think it was just over 9%. We're talking about double the rate of job creation in right-to-work states. You look around that, there's a lot of reasons for that, but certainly right-to-work is part of that because we know from history, even when there's not a pandemic and government, overreach in response to that, we've seen the proven job creation track record that right-to-work states have.
Right-to-work, seriously, a huge component in that. But it's just a general attitude of freedom that right-to-work states have in terms of liberty, letting people do what they want, free association, without penalty or hostility, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it goes on and on and on of the reasons. But right-to-work, a huge component of it. And you know what? On the back end of this, 27 states, that's over half. Comparing the data, right to work, double the job creation and more. This is such a big study. It cannot be ignored either, Patrick. That's why it's such great news, because the truth shall make us free.
Absolutely. Freedom and prosperity go hand in hand. We see it time and time again, and we've seen that in the last year or two as we try to get out from all this damage created by COVID, for sure.
There you have it. Patrick, we're flat out of time. Righttowork.org is where you can go to keep an eye on what they're doing. I'm telling you, they're keeping an eye on the ball and doing things that we absolutely need done, even when the world's focused on almost everything else. Thank you, Patrick, for your work. Tell your team thank you from us, will you?
Will do. Thanks a lot, Sam.
We'll talk soon. There he goes. Patrick Simmons doing a phenomenal job, as always. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. Tell the tale. Brighteon joins us next hour. We also simulcast with the Sheriff Mac TV show. So you just got some killer stuff coming up, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. God save the Republic of the United States of America.